Professor Paul Connett, you're not only back in the UK, but you are back in rugby. What brings you here?
Well, I'm hopping mad. I'm really very upset with the way that this cement kiln was allowed to be built in this town in the first place, the way that one individual that's fighting this, for the whole town, is being persecuted. And actually, I'm looking right now, you can't see it if you're listening to this, I'm looking to a photograph, and it's absolutely unbelievable. You've got these houses there where people are living, and then you've got this gigantic cement kiln towering above them, pouring out dust on all on their cars, their roofs, and everything else, and God knows what's going into their lungs. But I look at this thing. This thing was permitted in 2001, this monstrous facility. Any environmental official that said it was okay to build this massive plant right next door to all the houses of a large chunk of rugby should never be allowed to work in an environmental entity again. I think they should give back their degrees. It's absolutely irresponsible.
It's become quite a landmark. You can see this from miles and miles and miles away, and it's only now that I've moved away and I'm not living kind of under the shadow that I, as I'm passing or as I'm entering rugby, I think, how on earth did this happen? Surely the laws are there to protect us from industry really, really just piling on top of where we live, where we play, where we educate ourselves.
Absolutely. So not only the environmental agency that approved this darn thing and continues to approve it, and entities are giving it an awards, even though it's right on top of where people are living. In addition, you've got politicians who are voted into office by these people. Have they no conscience? Have they no intelligence that they should not allow this to continue for a single day? And as far as people listening, if you're a Christian, and I don't want to get into religion, but my favorite story in the Bible is about the Good Samaritan. When the guy is attacked and he's lying by the roadside, he's injured, and all the people in his grouping, whatever ethnic group he was in, walked on the other side of the road. And then somebody from an alien group, the Samaritans, who wasn't even on his side, you know, blah, 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 crossed the road and helped him. And that's what we want people now. Anybody that's listening, cross the road, please, and help these people in rugby. If you live in rugby, then wake up. And if you live outside rugby, please, some human decency here and help these citizens stop this plant from operating in this ridiculous position. And to compound matters, I mean, it's bad enough that a cement kiln is operating right on top of these people. But right on top of rugby, you know, rugby is famous because it invented the word rugby. Rugby football, Tom Arnold, the great English poet, was the first headmaster of rugby school. It's got so much history. What an
oblivion. It's called a market town.
Yeah, it's an insult. It's an insult to British history that this thing is here.
Is this it, though? Is this the only thing that needs fighting, or are things getting worse?
No, things are getting worse because they're now planning. Warwick Council is planning on allowing this thing to import 450,000 tons of waste a year from other jurisdictions, from miles away, maybe different countries, to make into a so-called refuse-derived fuel. That means just chipping it up and burning it. So now the pollution, which can amount to over 1,000 kilograms of lead each year, they're allowed that much, so they say. So even more pollution is going to fall on these people's lives. And here they are being asked to recycle, to separate and everything else. And people are running around doing what they can in rugby to be environmental. And yet, no matter how much they recycle, they're still going to get 450,000 tons of waste from other people who are not recycling, who are, you know, lazy slobs who just chuck everything away, and that gets put into a truck or a train and is brought here. So this is compounding the injustice. We've got injustice being piled on injustice.
That is a really interesting point. There will be people listening to this saying, well, I'm doing my little bit. I'm separating my glass and my plastics and my metal. I care for the environment. Well, hang on a second. How about just not bothering with that for the moment, because there is potentially something right on the doorstep where you can have a massive impact, not only on the environment, on your immediate environment, on the environment that's going to affect your children and your grandchildren. I mean, if this is possible, how can they do something about it? Is there not corruption involved? Are these plans not already made?
Well, I mean, I think Britain is being ruled. It doesn't matter which political party you're talking about. We're talking about incompetent people, possibly corrupt people at the very top. I mean, who was the president of the company, and what was his relationship to the Environmental Agency in 2001? It was sort of James Clifford or somebody. Some guy was chairman of the Environmental Agency and was also on the board of directors of this cement company. Somebody needs to get to grips with those details. But obviously there's a scandal here, there's corruption involved. But what worries me is the level of incompetence in Britain. There are certainly communities in Britain that are trying to do the right thing. But even though people talk about global warming and carbon footprint and so on, it's in the dark ages as far as what we should be doing. Please remember, we would need four planets if everybody consumed like an American. And before you get too smug, you would need two planets if everybody consumed like a European. And meanwhile, we have the Indians, the Chinese copying our consumption patterns. Something has to change. And the best place to start that change for sustainability is with waste, because everybody makes it. Everybody's a part of the problem of a non-sustainable way of living on the planet. But with good leadership, and that's what I'm getting around to, with good leadership, we could all be part of the solution. And the solution begins with zero waste, which is, as most people are now familiar, the way it goes is as follows. Source separation, door-to-door collection, composting of the organics, recycling of the inorganics back to industry, reuse and repair and deconstruction of the reusable objects, which can be used to make money, create jobs, and a community development. And then waste reduction initiatives, taxing some of the stupid things that we, plastic bags and plastic bottles and everything else, until they stop making the darn things. Using refillable containers, having supermarkets using dispensable systems, reusable diapers instead of disposable diapers. In fact, reuse everything instead of disposing it. We're living in a throwaway society. You can't run a throwaway society on a finite planet. So there are waste reduction initiatives going on. Ireland put a 15-cent tax on plastic shopping bags, and in 1 year they reduced it by 92%. So things are happening. And after waste reduction, there's the pay-by-bag system. So the organics go for free, the recyclables go for free, but the residual fraction, we tax that. And the more you make, the more you pay. Each time you put the residuals out, you're going to be charged. So don't put them up. Make sure you recycle, reuse. Make sure you buy more carefully. And then after that, we need a residual separation and research facility. We've already, right in front of the landfill, we already have the residual separation facilities up and running in Nova Scotia. We've now got communities in Italy that are setting up zero waste research centers. And the idea here is to bring community responsibility together with industrial responsibility, where we have to say, if we can't reuse it, recycle it, or compost it, industry shouldn't be making it. We need better industrial design for the 21st century. We need better design for sustainability. Waste is a design problem. Nature makes no waste. It's a human invention. We have to design waste out of the system.